Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2017, our very first service of the year. How many of you have made some New Year's resolutions? Some of you are not excited about this year. Have you just learned from past experiences not to even make those anymore? How many of you have already broken a New Year's resolution? You're all lying. I know you're lying now. You're just nervous or something this morning. Well, I'm excited about what God's going to do in our church this year. I've been praying over you individually too about what God's going to do in your life. And I just want to stand in faith with you and believe that God has amazing things planned for us, for you, for our church in this coming year. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I came like ready to preach. Like it's been a couple of weeks. And so I'm excited. I feel like God's given me a very specific word for our church at this specific season. Actually, it's going to take me a couple weeks to really share what God's been speaking to me the last few months. And he's just been confirming with me exactly what he wants to say. So I feel very confident about what I'm going to share with you today. And so I wanted you to take it seriously. In fact, would you just close your eyes with me for just a moment? I want you to pray this specific prayer. I want you to say, Dear God, come on, pray that out loud. Say, Dear God, I ask this morning that you would prepare my heart to receive your word, that you would open my eyes to see your ways, that you would quiet all the outside noise so I can hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I feel like the first series of the year for our church every year is it's important. If you remember, we kicked off last year with this sermon series called Great Expectations. And kind of our tagline was, get your hopes up. And that's really what we did. Throughout the year, we spent time getting our hopes up and anticipating what God wanted to do in our church. And so for the last couple of months, I told you, I've just been praying and asking God what he wants to speak to our church as we launch out into 2017. And there was a couple of words put together in the sentence that I felt like he just kept speaking into my life, into my spirit. It was just simply focus on the unseen. Focus on the unseen. And so I just kind of had that. I was kind of rehashing that in my spirit. And it was funny because I was reminded the very first sermon that I ever preached at Red Chapel, the very first Sunday morning, I spoke on this topic of sights unseen. And I was asking God at the very beginning of the launch of our church to what today we know as Red Chapel, like, God, what are you going to wanting to do through our church? What is the impact that you're wanting to have in our city through this group of believers that you're going to come together? At the time, it was Sonia and I and Megan and Drew, our family, that was it. And so I'll be honest with you, I was very blinded to what God wanted to do. I knew what he called me to do was to come and to, my family was to come and to plant a church in the city of Rancho Cucamonga. But God very rarely lays out all the details. Like normally God will just tell you, here's the next step. And he doesn't always show you very far in advance. And I remember he gave me this thought of sights unseen, that what God wanted to do through us was things we had never seen before. And I felt like God was kind of bringing me back to that as we launched this year, the start of 2017. And I realized that it's easy to fall into a trap of thinking that the things that we can discern with our senses, the things that we can see, the things we can touch, the things we can hear, things we can taste, things that we can feel, that these are the only things that are reality. But the truth is there is a whole other world than what we see. In fact, the scriptures tell us, and whether you believe the Bible or not, this is a really good answer for this. In Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. And then watch this, that the things that we now see, that they did not come from anything that can be seen. The writer here is saying that the physical world, the things that we can discern with our five senses, that it actually came from a world that is unseen. It's the result of the unseen world. That what we see now is the result of things that we cannot see. And so the truth is sometimes the most tangible things there are those things that we can only see through sort of this, I guess this morning, I'll just kind of call it, you've probably heard this phrase, that sixth sense, right? And the truth is that some of the things that are most real are the things that we can only sense through that sixth sense. So when God was speaking to me about focusing on the unseen, I realized that in order to focus on the unseen, it's going to take a little bit of work. And here's why. Because our human eyes are not made to see the unseen. We don't have the capacity in our human eyes to see the unseen. You can try all day long to see the wind or to see electrical currents or sound waves, but you can't. You simply can't see the unseen. And honestly, that's not what I want to talk to you about anyways. Just want to share with you, that's kind of another world that although you can't see it, it's there, it's a reality, but there is an entire other world around us that is unseen. This is what I want to talk to you about. It's a world made up of spiritual things like hopes and dreams, godly visions, master plans. It's a world made up of the hands of God, if I can say it this way, of the hands of God and the mind of God. It's a world of dreams. It's a world of hopes. Dreams are an interesting thing, ain't they? Dreams are an entire world built up in our mind that do not yet exist in reality. And I've discovered this, that often the Holy Spirit will speak to you through dreams. In fact, one of the prophecies of the Holy Spirit coming into the world and living within man is that our sons and our daughters would dream dreams. I think it could probably be said even that the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. I'll tell you, when I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, oftentimes he's speaking to me about things I don't know about the unknown, about when God's wanting to do something in my life and he's birthing something inside of me. I don't have a point of reference for it. He's often and so he'll speak to me through dreams. And I don't mean just simply at night when I'm sleeping. I mean God will start creating a reality in my world that does not yet even exist. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the world of the unseen. They're kind of a way of clearly seeing into the unseen world. Let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you have spent time this year dreaming about what God wants to do in your life? I want to challenge you with that question. In the first, 9 days of the year, have you been so focused on just what you can see, on what's around you, on what's in front of you, that you have failed? If you have, I want to challenge you this week to spend some time just dreaming, like peering into the unseen world and even just wondering, I wonder what God wants to do in my life this year. I wonder what plans God has for me. I'm talking about as faith begins to build up in your life. And you, anybody, I hope you haven't done this. I want you to, this is your task, your homework for this week. I want you to go home and I want you to start dreaming about what could be, about what could happen, about what God could do in your life. I know as we were closing out the year, it was interesting because I had so many of you coming up to me and you were telling me that you just sensed that God was about to do something great in our church. That God, you know, it's that sixth sense. You can feel it. You can sense it. And that's what God's calling us to do, is appear into a world that may not be visible to our human eyes. But he's calling us to look into the world of the unseen. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see. I don't want my vision to be limited to only the things I can see with my human eyes. I want to be able to see into a world that is unseen. I want to be able to see God's dreams and God's plans and God's vision. I want that awakened inside of me. I want my vision made alert to the things that God is trying to speak into my life. But I realize that we are not able to look into that world with our human eyes. And this is where faith comes in. Okay? Faith is like the lens that allows you to peer into the world of the unseen. Hebrews says it like this: faith is the confidence of what we hope for, of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Don't you catch that? The assurance about the things that we cannot see. That's what faith is all about. It gives us the assurance about the things that we cannot. It's about believing in and focusing on the things that aren't even a reality yet. Faith is the ability to hone in on the promises of God that He's given, even if they aren't visible quite yet. This is what faith does. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Faith, write this down. Faith opens your eyes to the realm of possibilities. Faith opens your eyes to the realm. Now, whether you believe it or not, outside of the world that you can see, in the world of the unseen, is a realm of potential and possibility. And faith is the lens that allows us to see into the realm of possibility. It's like when the doctor comes to you and says you have an incurable disease. Faith says things like, well, you may say that, doctor, I want to peer into the world of the unseen and the realm of, and faith will say things like, by His stripes we are healed. In the natural world, you may look at your bank statement and it tells you there's not enough, but faith says that He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and mercy. Your spouse may say, this is over, but faith says, with God, all things are possible. The naysayers may say, you're not going to amount to much. But faith says, I can do all things through Christ who's strength. This is what faith does. It opens up our eyes to the realm of possibility. People may tell you that you're not going to amount to anything. But faith says, I can do all things through Christ. Naysayers may say, you're never going to make it. But faith says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You see what I'm saying? Faith has a way of diverting our focus on simply what we can see and peering into the realm. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in that world. I don't want my vision to simply be limited to the things that I can't see. I want God to awaken faith in me that's able to peer into another world, the real world, if I could present it to you that the way this morning, that still believes in the realm of possibilities. I was listening to the Christian radio this week, and there's a songwriter, singer, his name's Hawk Nelson. He wrote these lyrics, a song called Crazy Love, and in there he says, we're the ones that believe in things unseen. We're the crazy ones. We're the ones that people think are crazy because we believe in the things that are unseen. This is what I want to awaken the sixth sense inside of you, not to just glimpse, but to where you take your eyes off what is your current reality and start focusing in on the unseen, focusing in on the possibilities, focusing in on the potential, the dreams that God has spoken into your life. And so as I was praying, it kept coming back to this idea of focus on the unseen. Feel like God was calling us to this new level of faith, this new intensity of focusing on the unseen. And so as we enter into this new year as a church, as a family, I'm asking us to intentionally seek to see with the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our soul, that we would adjust our focus off the things that we can simply see and start adjusting our focus on the things that are unseen. In fact, if I had one idea that I wanted to share with you today to drive home what I want to speak to you about, it would be simply that, is just simply adjust your focus. I feel like God wants us, in fact, I'm going to take 5 weeks to talk to you about this whole idea of focus on the unseen. But I think the first step in order for us to see the things that are unseen is you have to adjust your focus. As we adjust our focus, we essentially are increasing our faith in God. Adjusting your focus means that you'll become more dependent on your eyes. I'm sorry, you'll become less dependent on your physical eyes, the ones that measure everything around you, and you'll become more dependent on your spiritual eyes. And you'll start taking in the realm of the unseen. And so we've got to adjust our focus. If you wear glasses, maybe this will give you a point of reference. You may understand exactly what I'm talking about this morning. I remember when I first found out that I was losing my eyesight, that I would have to wear glasses. I tried to buy some cool ones because these lenses are real thick. They're like Coke bottle lenses, right? I would get made fun of if I didn't have, I think they're kind of cool. Probably some of you still make fun of me, but I remember I was like 18 or 19 years old, and I was working at a car dealership, and I was in the parts department, and they had a counter that separated the parts department from the service mechanics and technicians that would come in. And those technicians would come to the counter, and they'd have the cars parked outside the glass door of where I was working. And one of the things they had to fill out when they were filling out a repair order was the license plate number on the car. And so they'd have the car parked right there, and I would easily be able to just write down the license plate number. And I remember one day one of the mechanics came in, and I asked him for the license plate number, and they were used to me filling it out. And he looked at me like, you know, you can see it for yourself. And I couldn't quite see. He thought I was joking. I mean, I'm talking maybe, you know, 20 yards, not even that, probably 20 feet away was a car park. And I remember starting to, and that's when I realized that my eyesight was going bad. Anybody ever had that happen? When you start realizing, you know, your sight becomes a little blurred. You're not quite able to make out small details. And so I realized that at the ripe age of 18 years old that I was going to have to start wearing glasses. But I remember when I first went to the eye doctor, and, you know, they take you through an eye exam, and they start changing the lenses to see what prescription you're going to need. And I remember when I left there and I got a pair of glasses and I put them on, it was amazing how the world lit up around. I didn't realize it, but for a couple of years, I was not able to see very clearly. And so when I would take my glasses off, like right now, y'all are, man, some of you look great right now. I thought this was an ugly looking crowd. Man, y'all look beautiful now. Maybe I should just keep those off the rest. No, I'm just kidding. Just a simple little adjustment, right? It just put a lens, just a simple little adjustment can radically change. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about putting on some lenses of faith. Just a small adjustment that will allow you to see things more clearly. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. It's gonna be a bride. That's how I feel like when I said, like, oh God. And then you put it on, I was like, oh, I can see. That's why I want you to leave here this morning. Like, it may be doom and gloom around you, right in front of you, but you put those faith lenses on and you're just walking around like, it's gonna be a bride. I can't sing, but I love to sing. I sing great in the shower. Gonna be a bride sunshine. Like, I'm talking about adjusting your focus. Like, when you leave here this morning, I want you to have a new perspective on life. I want you to have a new perspective on your future. Just a simple adjustment to your focus makes a world of difference. It allows you to see things that were once invisible to you. This is what faith does. Is it allows you, it is the lens by which you are able to see things that are otherwise invisible to you. Faith is the spiritual pair of glasses, and you've got to put faith on in order to clearly see the things that God desires you to see. The things that really are there, but previously were invisible to you. Write this down too. I got some things for you to write down. I want you to take notes. I want you to remember, because I really feel like God's got a word for you for the next couple of weeks. Sometimes we're blinded to what is beyond us by what is before us. Think about that for a minute. Sometimes we're blinded. Sometimes God's got things that he wants to show us in our future, dreams that he wants to put in your heart, desires, his master plan that he wants to breathe inside. And some of us are so blinded to what's beyond us because we're so focused on what's before us. We have to adjust our focus. Sonia said this earlier. Stop looking at just what's in front of you. Stop looking at what's just, why don't you start looking up at what's above you? Why don't you start looking at what's before you? Why don't you start looking about what's beyond you this morning? Faith is essential to adjusting your faith. Let me tell you something. The one thing you're going to need this year, 2017, put this in your essential toolbox this morning. The one thing you need to keep on your side, attached to all things this year, is faith. Faith, in fact, that's the first point I want to share with you this morning, is faith is a must. Faith is a must. Now, in the Bible, there's a chapter. It's actually called the faith chapter. It's referred to as the heroes of faith that are listed in the Bible. It's kind of this accumulation of the people that really stand out throughout the scriptures. It's the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You may want to just read that. Let that be a part of your devotional reading this next week. It is known as the, it's actually one of the most beautifully written chapters in all of the Bible and clearly in the New Testament. And in it, the author talks about faith. He talks about great heroes of faith, many of which were included in the Old Testament. He speaks of Noah's faith in building the ark. He speaks of Moses' faith in leading an entire nation to freedom. He mentions the faith of prophets. He mentions the faith of men like David, of women like Rahab, of Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. These people, the reason that they're mentioned is because they were full of faith. And they lived out their life with this expectancy of the coming of the promise that God had placed in their life. Their entire lives were dictated by their faith. They fully believed that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do. And then they just lived like that. They just lived on the promises of God. Like they permanently adjusted their focus and looked through the eyes of faith. Faith was a requirement of their lives. It was what pulled them out of bed in the morning. It's what lulled them to sleep at night. It was their assurance, though the things that are not currently as they are promised that one day they would be. And so for them, faith was a must. So look what Hebrews 11 verse 6 says. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Like faith is essential. It is a, if you want to please God this year, which I believe is your desire, you must have, look what he goes on to say. He says, anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, not just that God exists, but that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Without faith, you can't even believe in God. You can't trust in God. These are two essentials to your Christian walk. And then in order to please God, we must live a life of faith. Moving forward requires faith, especially moving forward in God. It's a non-negotiable. Faith is a must. Now, I know sometimes your faith can grow weary. Sometimes we only have enough faith to just barely survive the day. We limit our trust in God depending on the harshness of the reality around us. We don't expect much from God because we don't really trust that he can or cares to act on our behalf. And yet we have no real reason to believe that at all. In fact, on the contrary, our life, our experience tells us that God does care about us, that God is going to act on us, and yet still at times we're lulled into this season of very little faith. And on the complete opposite, you look throughout Scripture, you look throughout your life, and you see that we're called to expect more from God. And that's the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning, is just simply that. Number one, faith is a must. Number two, expect more. I know this sounds simple this morning, but you've got to expect more. How many believe that God is great this morning? How many of you believe that God is all-powerful? How many of you believe this morning that God knows everything? How many of you believe that he's got everything under control? Let me ask you a question this morning. Then why do you expect so little from God? If we really believe that God's got it under control, that God's all-powerful, that God's all-knowing, then why this morning are we expecting so little from him? Why is our faith so small? I think sometimes the greatest enemy of great is good. Right? We just get into a place in our life where we're comfortable, it's normal, it's routine, things are good enough. And you know what that does? It starts to blind us to what is great. Could it be this morning that as good as you think your life may be, God's saying, I got something greater. I want you to expect more from me. Listen to what Hebrews says about these people that I mentioned to you. Verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets. Watch this. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions. You imagine that? That's some faith right there. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. They became strong in battle. They put whole armies to fight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. You see the list of examples that we've, in fact, Hebrews, the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1 says, now seeing that we're encompassed with all these great witnesses, let us live a life of faith. So not only does Hebrews chapter 11 give all these examples, they were there to spur us to live a life of expecting more from God. Can I tell you what God wants you to do today? He wants you to adjust your focus, and he wants you to start believing him for more. I don't care what God's done in your life. I don't care what's happening around you. I don't care what obstacles face you. Can I tell you what God's desire is for your life this morning? Is he wants you to expect more. I didn't say just hope that good things happen. Like, you ought to be walking into 2017 just expecting God to do great things in your life. Man, I wish some of you believed that with me this morning. I know some of you, you're discouraged by what's happening around you. You're discouraged by what's before you, but can I tell you something this morning? Just adjust your focus. If nothing else, for just the next few minutes, would you just put your faith lens on with me? Would you step into the realm of possibilities and potential? Would you just for a few moments begin to imagine what it would be like if God healed that disease, if God fixed that relationship, if God put your finances together, would you imagine with me this morning, what if we just adjusted our focus and we started focusing on the unseen today? And we walked out of here just expecting that the current situation isn't all there is. That there's more that meets the eye. That God's got some plans, some dreams for our life that are not a reality yet. But through faith, I'm able to focus on the unseen. And it may seem blurry right now, but I'm just going to believe my eyesight's going to sharpen. And it's going to start to become a reality through the lens of faith. The lens of faith. So we ought to be expecting greatness from him. What dreams do you have this morning that are just too small? What desires do you have that are just too mundane? What greatness do you strive for that could be greater? I'm challenging you this morning. Expect more. Just expect more. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to talk about a couple of different of these men and women throughout the next couple of weeks. But I thought for this first week, because Hebrews 11 spends a lot of time particularly on one individual, and he's a man by the name of Abraham. He probably spends so much time because we've come to know him as the father of faith, Abraham. Abraham was the man that God originally called to follow him. He was from a city called Ur, and Ur at that time was the greatest city in the developed world. So don't think of it as some rundown, archaeological dig somewhere. It was this extremely advanced and developed for its time. And Abraham, he's well off. He's living in the blessed place on earth. He's a wealthy man. His family was wealthy. He's a wealthy man. He comes from a wealthy family. And God begins, and so he's at a good place, but God had something greater for him. And so God begins to call Abraham to a place that he could not see. God promised him a land that he had never seen before. And God was asking him to leave the good that surrounded him for the great that was in store for him. God was asking him to expect more than what could just be seen. So I want you to imagine with me now this morning the tension that Abraham must have felt. He's in a good place. The bills are paid. You know, he probably gets a vacation, a 401k, you know, life is going well. He's able to meet the needs of his family. He probably has, if he lived in 2016, a nice house, maybe a Tesla. Well, maybe that's a little dreaming a little too big, but you know, things are going well for Abraham. And yet he's being pulled out of everything that he knew, all of the comforts in his life, in order to follow a God that he could not see. In order to go to a land that he could not see, and in order to go to a new life that he could not see. And guess what Abraham did? He left everything that he knew, everything that was familiar to him, and he did it. He picked up and he left everything he knew for the hope of the more that God had in store for him. And he continued to live his entire life in pursuit of that promise that God had. Abraham just lived expecting more. He just believed the words that God had. He couldn't see it. He couldn't describe it. He would never be able to articulate exactly what it looked like. But he just, no matter, this is one of the reasons why I love Abraham, is because Abraham constantly expected more. He called himself a nomad. Abraham's life looked like this. They would go to a certain city. They would put up a tent. They would start building a life around it. And then you can just sense this awakening would start happening in his life. And he would realize this isn't all that God has for me. And he would call his family together and he'd say, pack your bags. There's more. And they would head off into another city in another direction. They'd set up camp and things start going well, but then something would start to rise up inside him. There would be faith that would be awakened in his heart, believing that there's still more. And so God gave him this promise. He said, everywhere that you place your feet, that land I'll give to you. If God had given you that promise, I don't know about you, but I would just never stop walking. I'm just like, everywhere I put my feet, that belongs to me. Can I tell you something? That's the promise that God has for our lives. Every place that will continue to follow him, every promise that he puts on your life, if you will follow him, you can expect more. I'm challenging you this morning. I know some of you, I just sense you're just like, I'm not really sure about that. I'm telling you, I want you to live out 2017 expecting more. His life became consumed by faith in what was ahead. His life was consumed by faith of what was. And Abraham, this is my third and last point that I want to challenge you with this morning. And that's simply this. Just keep looking forward. Keep looking forward. Adjust your focus. Isn't just this one-time deal here Sunday morning. And we get a glimpse into maybe what God has for our life. Maybe even this morning as I'm speaking. God is speaking into your life some things that he wants to do this year. and you're sensing, or maybe God's awakening some dreams right now in the last few moments. I believe that's happening. Awakening some dreams of what he wants to do in your life this morning. Can I tell you, it's not just a lens for Sunday morning. When you walk out of here this morning, you've got to maintain your focus. You got to keep looking forward. God's promises have a tendency to grow and morph and develop. And so what we were promised a year ago, maybe nothing compared to what we're being led to today. So we must keep looking forward. We must keep following our faith in God. Keep believing in his promise. Never settling. Always trusting. Living this life full of expectancy. And so watch this. My last scripture, but you got to read the story about Abraham. Once again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, watch. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land. We talked about that. That God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham, listen, confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. All these people, remember I told you, he mentions all these people, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from the distance. They adjusted their focus. They learned to live with these lens of faith. And although they couldn't see it with their human eyes, they learned to peer into the unseen world and at a distance. In other words, it was like there was always something for them to be looking forward to. And they welcomed it. Obviously, people who say such things, I'm telling you, people thought these people were crazy. That's what people ought to think about. Then I think, man, you're crazy. You really believe that? Yeah, I believe that. You really believe God's going to do that in your life? I believe it. I believe it. And they say, obviously, people that say such things, they're looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from. Listen, this is important. Let me tell you what will keep you from looking forward. As you get caught up in what's happened behind you. Obviously, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. They had every opportunity, just like all of us this morning. As God's speaking life and dreams and hopes and these master plans that he has, as God's speaking to us this morning, we have the opportunity just to go back to the normal, go back to the mundane, go back to the familiar, go back to what's comfortable, go back to just what we can see with our own eyes. And yet these people, they chose not to look back. They kept looking forward. They kept focusing on things that they could not see. Verse 16, they were looking. I love the verbiage that the author writes here. They're just looking for a better place. I don't know about you this morning, but as we step into this new year, I'm just looking for something better. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful for what God's done in the past. I'm thankful for what he did in 2016 in my life and in the life of the church. But I have come this morning, I'm just adjusting my focus a little bit. And I want to look into the world of the unseen. And I believe that there is something better. There's something better. Some of you got a blank stare on your eyes this morning. I'm telling you. This is, you're looking at me like, huh? Grab your faith lens with me this morning. Come on, I'm finishing up. Just grab it. Adjust your focus this morning. I'm telling you, there is a world. There is dreams. There is promises. There is hopes for your life. If you'll adjust your focus, take your eyes off what you can only understand with your physical senses. If you'll tap into that sixth sense of faith with me this morning, I believe that God will begin to speak things into your life that he wants to do that they may not be a reality yet. And I don't know how far off in the distance, but as these men and women of faith that we read about, I can see it off in the end. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to settle for anything less than what God has for me in 2017. I'm going to stop looking back. I'm going to stop looking around, and I am going to look forward. And this is what Abraham doing. He just kept moving until the day that he died. He was moving towards the promise. He never fully received everything that God had promised. Can I get, let you in on a secret? No matter how much you attain in God, no matter how much of the promises of God that you receive in your life, there will always be more. So I don't care what's happening. I don't care how great you got it today. And you may be as comfortable as all get up. I'm telling you, I don't care where you're at in your life. Or you may be just coming out of a hell year of 2016. I'm telling you, there is every one of these people died and they never fully received. Can I tell you why? Because God's always got something more for you. You'll never exhaust all his resources. You'll never exhaust all his promises. I wish you would get this mentality with me and step into the new year just believing and expecting that God has more for me. And I don't care. Let me say this too. Some of you, you've been Christians for a while and you've seen God do amazing things. You ain't seen nothing yet. I don't care what you've seen in the past. You don't have a point of reference for what God wants to do in your future. You may have seen some miraculous things happen in your life, but hear me this morning. That's nothing compared to what God still has in store for you. Look forward. Keep looking forward. Now, I say this last scripture for the end because it's my theme scripture for the next 5 weeks. Because some of you still don't believe. You think that where you're at in God, that that's it. That that's all there is for you. These people died never receiving fully the promise. That's the way I want to die. I want to go out. Like on my deathbed, I'm just still like Abraham dreaming for more. I'm still packing up the family, packing up the tent, and taking more ground, taking more of God's promise. Watch the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined. I know you thought, maybe I'm dreaming too big. Maybe God was speaking some things to you in the last few moments. You thought, oh no, that can't be God. That's too much. That's too big. That's too out there. Here's the promise that we have. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has even imagined. You know what I'm telling you? Just dream big. Like think is big. Imagine with me this morning. Come on, put on your faith lens. Just imagine, what if God did what he's speaking into your life right now? What if God did that and more? And can I tell you something? You don't have to limit what God is speaking into your life. No matter what God's speaking into your life this morning, it's not beyond his ability. No mind has imagined what God has planned for those who love him. No mind has imagined. I've seen God do amazing things in my life. I've been serving God for over 20 years. I've watched him do things in our church the last 7 years almost. And yet that's nothing. It's like God saying, I want to blow your mind. No mind is even imagined. Man, I wish you'd really believe. I'm telling you, God is wanting to speak into your heart this morning. Some things for this new year. And you don't have a point of reference. And you're not going to be able to sense it with your natural senses. But if you'll just adjust your focus. Grab those set of faith spiritual glasses. And I believe you'll spend again this morning to get a glimpse of what God has for you.
Thank you for listening to Red Chapel's podcast. It is our hope that you are inspired and motivated by the message that you have just heard. At Red Chapel, we are determined to create environments where people can experience life change. If you want to personally be part of that life change, submit a love offering at www.redchapel.org under the donate tab. Your gift will change someone's life.